Blog Talk Radio.
I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and that he hath made us, and not we ourselves. For it is in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Call a neighbor, call a friend, call a coworker, call a family member, and let them know that the most influential, the most inspiring, the most invigorating time of biblical instruction and Christ-centered God-referenced worship is on the airwaves under the heading of the Wisdom Alliance. Truly, we know that God is in the blessing business in this day and in this time, where there's so many complexities in today's society. And as the songwriter said, time is filled with swift transitions, so many burdens often to bear. Hold fast to God's unchanging hand. And the songwriter says, hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand, and build your hopes on things eternal. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. And I'm here to encourage you, to inspire you on this glorious and victorious Sunday it is. You know it is. Sunday, February the 26th. Of 2017, hold on because help is on the way. You may feel as though that you're at the very end of the velvet rope and you're slipping away. You're slipping into the abyss of challenges, into the abyss of depression, into the abyss of instability, the abyss of hopelessness and haplessness. Oh, but hold on to that rope. Hold it, because the change is about to come your way. Sometimes God allows us to get on the very elements, the very edge, the very crux of being at the end place of that velvet rope, where we're just about to slip off before he takes his unchanging hand and grabs hold of us before we can fall off. And I remember, and you know it too, David said, I once was young, but now am old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And then he said that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, he heareth them and delivereth them out of them all. We're speaking deliverance today. Whatever your velvet rope is in life, is it your financial situation? Well, the Lord aspired to us in his word. He said, what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What did he say? Through the witness of Apostle Paul, he said, give, and it shall be given again to you in good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. That's the key to prosperity. Trusting in God, believing in God, taking your eyes off the situation, the circumstance, and looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. This is worship, Bible-centered worship, church worship, church service, the way it's intended to be by way of the Wisdom Alliance. Oh, we need healing in the body. Some out there in listening land, you need to be touched. You may not have a physical affliction. You may have a psychological or emotional affliction. Let me tell you what the prophet Isaiah said. He was wounded for our transgressions. That means our infractions. Hung up for our hang-ups. Bruised for our iniquities. Iniquity is the desire to commit ill will, the desire to sin. and the chastisement of our peace. For he is the peace of God that passes all understanding, that rules our minds and hearts. And by whose stripes, identifying Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, by whose stripes we were, not will be or could be, he said, we were healed. Speak it, believe it, receive it. Some of you are saying, I don't have peace of mind. He said, I keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Who said that, Jesus? For he is the peace of God that passes all understanding, that rules our minds and our hearts. Well, Lord, you know something? I'm alone. What did David say? I've never seen the righteous forsaken. You are not alone. Stop proclaiming self-defeating prophecy. Because as our Messiah told us, as a man thinketh, so is he. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's right. And be comforted to know that he is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. So many of us out here in listening radio land are saying, I don't have any relatives left. I don't have any friends or acquaintances. You know what? What did our Messiah speak unto his disciples? He said, who is my mother? Who is my father? Who is my sister? Who is my brother? They that do the will of him that sent me. These are those whom I regard. So sometimes we may not have the biological associations, but God has set us up in heavenly places in him where we have the sociological affiliations. Amen. You better say it because it's the truth. Let go and let God is what we're saying to you today by witness of the Holy Spirit. You've tried it in your strength. You've reached the end of that rope. You can't do it alone. That's right. God has you in a position now. It's a do or do not situation. You better say, do, Lord, do, Lord. Do it for me right now. Because I know you wanted to, but see, I've been trying to do it myself. And look at the fine mess that I've gotten myself into. Somebody's saying that to themselves right at this apparent time. Look at the mess I've made out of the messy circumstance. Now, will you let go and let God finally? Because he's waiting. He waited for a while to see how you were going to walk in the flesh and were you going to walk in faith. And so were you going to walk in the carnal of mind. Let me tell you something. God allows depression to come against us oftentimes. He allows it. I don't care what the dying, lying, backslidden church world says. The world that got churchy and the church that got worldly. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't care if you like it or don't. I'm charged with the charge to get the body of believers back on track where they need to and be and belong in the kingdom of heaven, because you're not doing the will of God. You're proclaiming your name, your ministry, your things, your doings, but God is nowhere in it, and that's why the people are suffering. We got to get back to the old landmark. God wants us to do it his way, to have that one-on-one relationship with him, so that we can experience the very splendors of heaven in our life. But this day and time, they're preaching this new phase genealogy about you can say it and it comes to pass. Who are you? I am the greatest. I can do. No, you can only do, as Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, not through your own name, your associations, but through Christ that strengthens me. We've got to get it right to the pastors and to the elders, the ministers, the evangelists, the missionaries, the teachers, the deacons. You need to come back to the old landmark, because so many of these organized establishments have failed the purpose. They've become carnal-minded, materialistically inclinated, self-absorbed, self-anticipated, as opposed to facilitating the will of God through the power of God's word, through his anointing. Isn't it the anointing of God that breaketh the yoke? You can't buy this. You can't sell this. You've got to be born in this. Oh, hallelujah. Praise his name. Many have tried to buy me and to pull me. Let me tell you something. The gift of God is not for sale. Because I sold out to him a long time ago. And you better sell out to the master right now. Because if you ever needed the Lord, you, I don't care where you are, who you think you are, you need him right now. That's right, because I'm telling you something. Those who are not covered under the blood of Jesus, who are not safe in his arms, who are not guarded by the angels of God, who have not attained the favor of God, that have not received the full protection of Gabriel and Michael, the archangels, who are commissioned by God to tell the angels what to do, you are not safe. You are not protected. You are vulnerable. I don't care how many bodyguards you have. God can speak one word, and then the cherubim and the seraphim will allow, move out the way, and allow things to happen. All those who are not covered in the blood of Jesus are not safe from the afflictions of this world, from the downward spiral of this inbenevolent, unthankful, ungodly generation, and even the fallen worldly church that has infected us with a series of innocuous venoms that have spat into society, that have lied, that have played with God, that have tried to denigrate his word, have tried to lessen his will, tried to change his way. God is not pleased. You have played church and played mental manipulation with too many people out there. I don't care what you put your ministry under the name of. God sees you, and he's not pleased with you. You have manipulated the people of God and lessened them to such a degree, many of them are willing themselves to die. They're falling dead. They're falling through afflictions. They're becoming depressed, oppressed, suppressed, and hopeless, and walking away from the faith. And to you lying prophet, didn't mean to go there. You lying heathenish pastors that have eaten and devoured God's people and manipulated them, God's hand is set against you. And as Isaiah warned those false prophets, you're going to eat the dung of your own doing. You may be sitting on your throne now, and living the high life while others you have manipulated and lied to are suffering. But, oh, did I tell you this? I better tell you this. This is the season of the bountiful harvest. The first, you all that have been first with your name recognitions and manipulating God's people, taking their money, robbing them blind, living off them, pilfering off them, pimping off them. God says the first will be last. This is the season for all the first folks to fall to last, and all of us last people to come first, because God is sick and tired of the garbage, the impurities that are encased in so many of the congregations that have sold out to this new worldly system, this new world church, where it's satanically influenced, satanically infected, and imputed with every kind of uncleanliness that there is. No, I'm not trying to make friends. I'm trying to tell the truth that God's people can be released, that the congregations can grow. You play too much, and now it's affecting the communities. It's affecting the outskirts of the perimeters in the cities that your congregations are housed in. God said, get the house in order, because it's spring cleaning time. And you can't lie and say that you as leaders didn't hear this. You heard it from me. As a witness, it's time for us to get up and get out and be about our Father's business so that the blessings of Abraham can fall upon us first and upon those who listen to us. That's right, that they follow us only as we follow Christ. With all of our imperfections and our infractions, he looks beyond all of our faults and sees our needs. And it's spring cleaning time right here and now. Get the house in order. Leaders, get this. These merchandise venues out of these congregations. Get these commercialized performances out of these congregations. Get this buying and selling out of congregations. Don't you know that our Messiah, he made a scourge, a cord of whips, and drove those money changers out the temple. He said, take not my Father's house and make it a house of merchandise. That's our Lord speaking. Clean it up. It's spring cleaning time. Get the mess out so that hungry souls, thirsty souls can come into the congregation and penetrate the vortex and cause the floodgate to come through so that we will see the physical manifestation of divine healing. Of wounds being healed, of diseases being decimated, destroyed, nuked out, that blinded eyes can become open, that deaf ears be unstopped, that dumb tongues begin to move and to speak and declare the acceptable will of God. It's time to clean it up so that financial prosperity, by the way, this is the season, the high season. People say, oh, the income tax season. Let's look beyond that and say, this is Jehovah Jireh season. The season of the bountiful harvest is upon us. Divine favors, debts being erased, bills being canceled, moved out. Oh, that's right. Credit scores speaking up because why? The hand of God is moving to those who obey. I'm obeying. If you listen to the words of truth, you too will obey. Very unusual way for us to go into the broadcast on this morning, but in my spirit, driven to speak these words, deliverance, the day is here. The hour has come. Can you handle it? Are you ready? I say yes, Lord, completely yes. Bottom of my heart, from the depths of my soul. Completely yes. Can you sing that with me? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If you don't want to sing it, just say it. Yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, I'll say yes, Lord. Completely yes, my soul. Says yes. Can you say it one more time? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depth of my soul, I'll say yes, Lord. Completely yes, my soul. Says yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes to your will and yes to your way. We're not about stage performances. We're about glorifying your name on this very day. To those tender ears and those aching hearts and those troubled minds who have tuned in to get turned on to the frequency of the truth, that they be delivered. Father God, I'm asking that you bless, touch, heal, prosper, and deliver all those under the sound of my voice, and even remember so the oracle in which you have sent to speak your truth, Lord, and that your presence radiate, illuminate, and annihilate everything that is evil, every hindering force, every dark presence be casted asunder in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise that you so well deserve. And my blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for healing of those bereaved hearts. But Lord, we know that they are absent in the body, but they are present with you, and there is no better place to be. We thank you for your divine intervention on this day and time that you have healed, you have touched, you have blessed, and you have prospered, and you have delivered those. And even to those who don't know you, Father God, this is our hope that they be saved and receive the abundance of that blessed and amazing grace, that they come into the fold just as they are. The Lamb of God, they come, receive these souls that desire to come to know you. And thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Father God, we thank you. Amen and amen again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with you. Psalms 103, the first verse, bless his holy name. What is David saying? Praise the Lord from the depths of my soul and booked every fiber of my being. Can you say that? Praise you, God. For within my soul, with every fiber of my being, praise your holy name. Bless the Lord, the second verse says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. You see, when God gave us eternal security, and he gave us the blessed assurance of salvation in him, he also attached a full-fledged benefits package with long life to satisfy us, with prosperity, divine perfect health, divine blessings, unity, love, soundness of mind, soundness of speech, and all that we touch will prosper when we enfold and envelop in God and not in man, not in an organization, but in God. Because in God, we accept the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and Father God sees us as his beloved children, because he sees us through the eyes of his begotten Son. The third verse says, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. What is King David saying? Iniquities is a desire to sin. God says he casted those deeds of the past, of yesterday, the hour before, into the sea of forgiveness and forgetfulness. And he doesn't remember them anymore. So he didn't say Christ is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So he heals all our diseases. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders, and by whose stripes we were healed. You're healed because of the blood of Jesus. The very blood of Jesus washes us whiter than snow and makes us altogether whole. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. We talked about the velvet rope. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. We just talked about how God is stretching out his hand to deliver his children on this morning. Because your way wasn't getting you anywhere. Your way was not taking you to the high road. It was taking you to the low road. You got depressed, oppressed, suppressed, and felt hopeless and helpless, about to do something desperate. And God says, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you to let go so I can take the helm and get that ship hoisted into that area where I can load you with the benefits of heaven. I'm receiving my benefits. I'm going to receive the fullness of my blessings, the fullness of my prosperity, the fullness of mine anointing, the fullness of my salvation. Are you? Can you handle it? Oh, yes. You have no choice. You have no else to turn but to the Lord. He got you, didn't he? He got your full attention through the circumstances in your life. He's got your full attention. Now, it's nobody but him. Who crowned you with loving kindness. You know what? He said, with loving kindness have I drawn you, have I brought you. But it was because God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. That was loving kindness. See, the loving is wonderful. But with loving kindness, that means the generosity, the reciprocity of love, emotion that just overwhelms you. You can't explain it. But you surely barely can contain it. It's overwhelming. It literally just sweeps you to be speechless. This is what God has for us this morning. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. They that wait upon the Lord, remember Isaiah said, if I love these words, they shall what? They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. The older that we get, the younger we should look. Praise God. When you're obeying the word of God, you will. And the more healthier our body should become when we walk in the spirit of obedience, when we walk in fervent love, when we walk in forgiveness, when we obey God's word, and we get out of SELF, because SELF is a NESS. You heard me. SELF is a NESS. When we get out of the mess called self and we get into God, God shows us, you may be 50-something, I'm going to let you look like you're 20-something. You may be 50-something, I'm going to let you feel like you're 19. You may not live in the finest of household, but I'm going to make that house a home. Amen. Are you listening today? You better open up and receive this. This is not a game play. It is a stature in which God has set you up to be blessed and to receive heavenly things from him. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all they that are oppressed. Me that felt oppressed. What does this word oppress mean? Oppress means that you're not treated fairly. You're not given the fullness of consideration that others are getting. Because you know what? They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to have people that just don't like you because you represent something different from them. It's not that they don't like you. They don't like what you represent. That's right. They don't understand you because we are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood that we should show forth the praises of him that brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. So we're different. We're not crowd mixers. We're not crowd pleasers. We are stakeholders. That's right. We are game changers. That's right. We change the game. We don't get played by the game. Hello, hallelujah. We master the game. That's right, because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And for they that are oppressed, don't worry about it. This is our season of prosperity. Some of those debts that were hanging over our heads, God has already removed them. People that said they wouldn't bend in and give in to giving us favor, God said the favor has been granted. When God tells you something, I'm telling you something, for your own good, as I have been told, for my own good. When God says something, you can put your life on the line and know it's true. So how can you trust God with your soul, and I trust him with my soul, and I can't see my soul, but I know it exists within me because we're all trilateral beings. We're physical or physiological, we're metaphysical, and we're spiritual. That's a trilateral being. We are. And so if I can't trust him with my finances and with my health and with my longevity and with my affairs and my life, how can I trust him with my soul I don't see? So it doesn't make sense. You and I have to walk in faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because, see, faith defines us through him. The world defines those who are without faith, without the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we are defined by our faith in him. We shape this world. This world don't shape us. We impact the world. The world don't impact us. They're influenced by us. We're not influenced by them. Amen. This is the way God has us, because we're part of the royal priesthood. And you know what? Not just saying because I have the doctrine of divinity. That means nothing. I am spiritually in tune to the frequency of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, all things are made subjected to him. He made known his ways unto Moses, his actions to the children of Israel. I mean, God perpetuated miracle after miracle after miracle. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. That means that God is loving kind to those who call on his name, who are brokenhearted, who have a contrite spirit. God hears us. Some of us are just beloved children because we lay in his lap all the time and we talk about how dastardly and evil and malevolent the world is, and the children of the enemy are imputed in the world, and they label themselves as Christians, and they're liars. They're counterfeiting, playing with God. We tell him about what's going on in this earth. He already sees, but he loves to hear from his children. I have learned that the more intimate I am with God, the more that the enemy and the world is subject to me, and he will be subject to you. But you've got to get that one-on-one, intuitive relationship with God. He will not always try, neither will he keep his anger forever. That means sometimes God chastises us because we have either allowed ourselves to get, you know, blindsided and got distracted, and we start doing things that are not benevolent to good character, start speaking in ways that are not gracious to what we represent, and God has to spank us and allow things to come, not to hurt us, not to kill us, not to harm us, but to get our attention. That's why trouble gets our attention. issues gets our attention. And when he gets our attention, he says, okay, I'm going to remove this. Now, you know it was my hand that did it. It wasn't that powerful letter you wrote. It wasn't that powerful presentation you gave. It was my mercy. And I said, yes, Lord, that's all I can say and praise his name for it. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. And you know what? If God did to us what we've done in our lives, none of us would be here to give witness. But it's of the Lord's mercy. Say this morning with me. It is of the Lord's mercy that I am not consumed. You are not consumed. We are not consumed. But it's what? Mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. That's our testimony. That's right. Not a testimony. That is our testimony. That's right. For all the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Your fear is not saying, oh, God, don't kill me because I did wrong. No, that's the fear you're talking about. It's awe, awesomeness, regard, reverence. We have reverence for him. Yes, I fear God. I don't fear what man says and what man does, but I fear God's hand when I haven't been obedient. I fear God's wrath because I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. That's why I'm here preaching the word of God. This is what I'm called to do. I'm called to teach and to preach and to unify people and to get the body where it needs to be, the body of believers back on track. And sometimes chastisement comes hard. Sometimes things have to be said for me that I don't want to say. But listen, I belong to God. You're not going to have God chastising me because I was disobedient. Oh, no, I fear the wrath of God. I know his wrath is real. You can turn around and say, I'm staying in the house and not move. I'll guarantee you that ceiling will start cracking. You can't escape God because he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and omnipresent. Omnipotent means all-powerful. Omniscient means all-knowing. And omnipresent means everywhere and every time. So there's no escaping there. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Yes, Lord, pity me, because you know I don't want to irritate you. And many of us have irritated God and didn't even know it. We've been nasty toward others. We've been condescending toward others. We think we got it made and shade and got it parlayed. And God said, uh-uh. He said, we should give to the necessities of the needful. And I'm going to perpetuate. And that's how the wheel of prosperity really turns more rapidly and more frequently in that manner. Because for he knoweth our frame, and remember that we are dust. That means none of us are anything. We're nothing without him. He is what gives us definition to us and in our lives. Outside of him, we are nothing, neither can we do anything, because we are the vine. He said, Jesus said, his Father, he is the true vine, but the Father, God is the husbandman. You've seen the Father, you've seen him. No man can come to the Father except by Jesus. So give him his respect. Put God in the center of your worship. Put God in the center and the helm of your life. Put Jesus Christ as the affection of your life, because if it wasn't for him, we would not be reunited back to our universal creator, Father God, because sin has separated us from him. As for man, his days are as the what? Grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. That's right. So everybody else that's feeding the bloom, you don't stay 19 forever. You don't stay 25 forever. You don't stay 55 forever. You don't stay 75 forever. You don't stay 90 forever. If God lets you sustain 3, 4, and 10, God promised us 70 years on this earth out of his infinite mercy. Anything beyond that is grace, grace, and amazing grace, and more grace. And this is what we should utilize. All these wonderful years God has set for us to live. I need to be 105. I want to be able to praise God and give God the glory, have my right mind, help people, be a blessing to the kingdom of God, give to the necessities of the needy, and help take care of people and speak the word. Lord, let when I get 105, let me still be able to teach and to preach your word and to live the love of God in my life. Sometimes the love is hard. Tough love is what gets us together and gets us back on that track. And so many of us want that flour-based love, that little sugar-powered sugar love. That don't do nothing but escalate your glucose level and cause your body to go into frenzy, into a shock. But you need the hard love, the love of God, which speaketh the truth. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall be known no more. That's man. So Brother David said, King David said, you know, my Lord, this is before he was even elevated to the level of being the king of Israel. He said, Lord, let me, you know, remind me of my frailty. you know, a whisper in the wind. So sometimes that flesh will get to making you think you're superficial. You can talk to people any kind of way. You can act any kind of way. You can disobey your parents. You can disrespect your elders. You can play with God's word. You can do what you want to do. No, there's a way to seem it right unto a man and to a woman too. But thereof are the, in that way, there are the ways of death. That means you're going to be cut off. That's right. You're going to cease to exist in your behavior, in your attitude, in your in areas of ingratitude. You're going to be put to a halt. But see, this is the reason why you got to obey what is true. I have to obey what is true. But the mercy of the Lord from as ever, from everlasting and to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children.